Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680 with Jeff Ken. And every year he's on the show, every year I say you're a Hall of Famer, you're getting a little groundswell now.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying not to complicate my life. Maybe that'll complicate my life, and they know it. So, people are going to keep debating about it. We're going to keep talking about it as long as I, get that minimal percentage. That'll keep me in the conversation.
Yeah, they give you 10 years. So, we've got plenty of time. I think we've only gone through four. And I know it's good. You watch TV, you watch MLB, and I know you're getting a lot of support now. All right. But what I like to say to the fans and what we like to bring to the fan, who's the man? Philippe Ballou always said, show me the man first, then the player. And you have an interesting background of baseball and growing up and getting into the game in high school, getting to Cal. Give us a little bit of a thumbnail on that.
You know, I grew up in Southern California playing baseball down there, high school. You know, ended up getting a scholarship to Cal, even though I had a rough senior year in high school. That didn't go very well. Only played about a quarter of the season at my high school year, and had a run-in with the coach there. No big deal, but got a scholarship to Cal, and my baseball career kind of took off. I never really thought I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. You know, I'm thinking, I'm willing to trade because my dad was a cop in Southern California. Couldn't really afford for me to go to a big school. That I was willing to trade baseball, the scholarship money in baseball, for an education, and that was what my focus was on when I went to Cal. I got drafted my third year at Cal, had some good years, got drafted, and I gave myself 3 years in the minor leagues, that within 3 years, if I wasn't somewhere, valuable within the organization, that I was going to go back to school. And, within 2.5 years, I found myself in a big league. So, baseball was it just kept panning out for me. It was never really on my radar. It was never really a dream of mine. You know, when kids play wiffle ball in their backyard, they think, 3-2, two out in a World Series. That wasn't me. I wasn't that guy. I was just a guy that was, I wanted a means to an end, and baseball at the moment was, a means to an end for me.
Well, interesting having Jeff Ken with us. So were you always the shortstop? A guy gets to the major leagues, he's probably a great player as a kid. What kind of player were you as a kid?
I was a crappy hitter until I got to be about a freshman in high school. I was a guy that hit eighth and ninth on all my all-star teams. I was a shortstop. I was a shortstop and pitcher because I had a good arm. I could throw. I don't even remember running very fast, but I knew I could throw. I had a good glove. I could pick it out at short, and I could pitch. But I always hit, eighth, ninth, or tenth on the teams that I always played on. So when I got to high school, I knew that if I wanted to play, if I wanted to start, that's where all, when you get to high school, that's all when all the best players around the Little League get together, and that's the best of the best for your area. And there were some pretty good players, and I knew, and I wanted to play. I didn't want to sit the bench. So I knew that if I wanted to play on my high school team, I needed a hit. So we had a pitching machine and a couple buddies, and that's all we did every day after practice and after school, was go in the cage, and we'd put rubber balls in the machine and the jugs machine, and we'd just hit until dark, and then I'd get on my bike and I'd pedal home and do my homework. And that's all I wanted to do, and the hitting part just finally came around.
See, this is the basis of the Hall of Fame speech. Now, Jay, we got to remember this. This is good. This is what you're going to be able to say in one of these years. I'm telling you, you will. All right, so now you get the scholarship to Cal. Could you have gone other places? Why Cal?
I got my first recruiting trip, never on an airplane. My first recruiting trip was to Stanford. And then about a couple weeks later, went on a recruiting trip to Cal. And Stanford offered me a scholarship. Cal offered me a scholarship. And I was looking at the two and weighing the two. And my dad being a cop in Southern California, there's no way in the world he could afford for me to go to Stanford. It just wasn't going to happen. And that was a good part of this, but is Cal was ranked ninth at the time that I went on a recruiting trip. They were a better baseball program than Stanford. I wasn't a big baseball college historian, so I didn't know a whole lot about it. But at the moment, I kind of liked Cal. I liked the presence of Cal, where they were located. They were ranked ninth. They had a great baseball program. Bob Milano was awesome. Was the head coach at the time. And I, you know, I called the Stanford coach and said, hey, unless you guys give me any more money, there's no way I'm going to your school. I'm going to Cal. And sure enough, I accepted the scholarship or the opportunity to go to Cal, the scholarship at Cal. Went to Cal and never turned back.
Wow, what a great story. Jeff Kent with us. Now, at Cal, you had some good seasons at Cal, but again, it wasn't that smooth. You know, you didn't just walk in and say, okay, I'm the next Sean Dunstan.
Yeah. No. You know, I walked in my freshman year. I won the starting job my freshman year at shortstop, and I hit, you know, I hit well. I hit 300 plus. I can't remember what it was. And I made all pack that year as a freshman. My following sophomore year, I just hit the skids, just straight sophomore jinx. I don't even know if I hit my weight, and I was weighing about 180 pounds. So it was a struggle. I could play defense fairly well, but the season was just a disaster offensively. And Bob Milano at one time during the course of the season said, Jeff, you need to go see a shrink. You need to go see a sports psychologist. And I thought he was nuts, but it turned out I was nuts. So I went and saw a sports psychologist during the year. He helped me out. And then my junior year, you know, things started to come back for me. I started to play, hit well, was picking it pretty good. And then mid-season, I got hit by a pitch from UCLA, punks at UCLA, and broke my wrist. And I sat on a bench with a broken wrist the second half of the season my junior year. So it was a roller coaster baseball career for me at Cal.
Yeah. What does a sports psychologist tell you? What are just some of the things they talk about?
You know, focus, vision, and a lot of just personal mental confidence. You know, I remember one question he asked me I guess I suggested to him that I had a fear of failure. I was afraid to fail. And he looked at me, I remember vividly, he looked at me and shook his head and he says, nope, you don't have a fear of failure, son. You got a fear of success. You're too afraid to swing the bat is what your problem is. And that's not from fear of failure, it's from fear of success. And I thought he was nuts. There's no way in the world. What the hell does fear of success mean? But, you know, I learned after knowing him and applying it on a baseball field, he was right that I was a successful player, but I was too afraid to swing the bat to take a chance at that success. I wanted to protect what I had, and what I had wasn't really anything unless you go out and get it. So that was what I was fearful of, is going out to get what I wanted and not necessarily worrying about failing. But if you want something, go get it. Go take it. Meaning if you're at the plate and you want to get a hit and you see a fastball, you got to swing the bat. You got to get up there. You got to take a chance. And that really motivated me, I think, from that point on throughout my whole career, is I was never afraid to pick up the crumbs. I was never afraid to, and that's just an analogy of, sure. I was never afraid to swing the bat. I was never afraid to take a chance. I was never afraid to succeed. And, you know, success isn't guaranteed, but there's no way in hell you're going to be successful unless you step up to the plate and take a swing.
Well, boy, fascinating. As I said, I'm telling you, we're going to save this. I'm telling you, we're going to save it because this is part of the speech. I'm not kidding you. This is very good. All right. So how does draft day affect you? What happens then?
You know, I remember one of my last at-bats in college was a bunt. I was in Stanford, Sunken Diamond. Coach called me off the bench to go in there and hit. And I was feeling okay during batting practice, but I just knew my draft status just crumbled because I was sitting on the bench my junior year. I admit my grades suffered a little bit because I was just down in the dumps. I was just having a bad way only because I broke my wrist. I'm on the baseball team. I can't play. And, you know, people projected me as maybe a top five round pick, you know, and I didn't put all my eggs in that basket, but I knew I was suffering and there was a risk of me not even getting drafted. But I got drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays in the 20th round, in the draft in 97, I think that was. And, No, it was it 98? I can't remember. It was 6, 7, 8. No.
8, isn't it?
8. Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yes, yes, you're correct. It was. I am wrong. I'm not dating myself. Yes, you're right. It was 80. It was 86, 7, 8. It was the 1988 draft.
Right. Yeah.
So the 1988 draft, I was still picked 20th round. And at that moment, you know, I because of my wrist, because of my grades, and just because I thought I was ready, I took a chance. You know, they gave me $10,000, big deal, you know, to go play. And I went, and they sent me up to St. Catharines up near New York, the Niagara Falls up there, and played in the New York Penn League for the Blue Jays. And, you know, with a goal, though, I still had the goal, 3 years. If I'm not anywhere in 3 years, I'm coming back to school.
Boy, what a story. I love the story. All right, so when did you know that, hey, I can do this?
You know, it was my second year with the Blue Jays. I played in the Florida State League A-ball. Ended up leading our team in home runs and making the All-Star team for the Florida State Penn League, or Florida State League out there, which is all the spring training sites where they're at now. And it's Dunedin. It was. And I'm, you know, that's when I knew I had a shot. But I took every step, you know, as it came. Went from short season A-ball to A-ball, and then I was going to Double-A, and I played in Double-A. And made the All-Star team that year too, an MVP of that team, and I figured I was knocking on the door, and it you know, the knock came pretty soon after that.
Yes, it did. All right, we're gonna not go too far ahead because I wanted the background. Now people know the man. I think this is very important to get to know you, and of course I say Hall of Famer, and he had a great career with a number of teams here, and especially the Giants. But one game that stands out to me was winning the pennant in 2002 that put you guys in the World Series, and I could still see David Bell and Lofton in that moment, and I thought in the clubhouse afterwards, I thought all of San Francisco was in there. I mean, it was just amazing. Give me a little bit of that game.
Probably the highlight of my career was at that moment when we won the pennant in San Francisco. You know, we had come close in years previous, but you know, we were in a new ballpark, great fans, had been awesome fans for years that I had played there, and then we win the pennant, get into the World Series, and it was. You know, I still get goosebumps about you know, that moment and those times about the World Series, the pennant. You know, I had a long career to get to that point too, and I'd never been at that point in that moment, and I can't even remember. You know, I was late 30s, maybe mid 30s, I guess I was, and it was a moment that really impressed upon me. It was a big impression upon me only because I went to Cal up in the Bay Area. You know, I went and played on the East Coast a little bit with Toronto and New York Mets. My career came full circle back to San Francisco, where I was really comfortable, that I really enjoyed the Northern California more than Southern California, where I grew up. And then for us to win, you know, the pennant and then go on to potentially be world champions was an awesome moment for me in my baseball career.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I know more of the background because you know, connecting Cal and everything else, it is a moment to come back and be here and go to the World Series. So I think the circle, you did a good job of completing the circle. And also, I'll tell you this, I think it was 97 when you were first here, and the Giants made a great run in September. Great run in September, and that was one of my first years of doing this after the 25 years of being a criminal trial lawyer. And I remember in the clubhouse in September, and you explained to me at that time, this is when the pros take over, when every game in September is amazing, and that's when you make the run. And I learned from you at that point, and that is the truth. September, the pros take over.
You know, I throughout my whole career, you know, people want to be as consistent as possible, and so be it. Yeah, have at it. But you almost can't be in baseball. That's not the nature of this game. You can't have consistency from day one and to the end. And I knew that. You really had to work hard on pacing yourself through injuries, through slumps, you know, through the dog days of summer. So for me, I always wanted to be ready in late August, September, in October. I wanted to be healthy. I wanted to be at the top of my game, because as a team, you collectively get yourself to that moment. And then the professional players, the players that have a little extra in the tank, the players that have used their brains to give you a little extra, those are the guys that are available and ready and able in late August, September, and October to give you that extra push, because everybody's vying at that time for one more win that, you know, puts you in the either even or one game ahead of somebody else, and that's when you need your best performances. And I always prided myself on, you know, being ready and able at the end of the season.
Well, we know you could hit, and as I said to you many days ago, over 2,000 games at second base, over 1,200 double plays. So I'm going to let the fielding. We'll talk about fielding the next time we sit down, because people have to know a lot of games at second base. My goodness.
Yeah.
2,000.
You know, running out there and covering the ground out there, and if it wasn't for my hitting abilities, I probably wouldn't have played so many games. But I really took pride in the defensive out there, and I enjoyed playing it.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, thanks so much as always, and we'll see you next year. And believe me, it's going to happen. And I'm saving this thing because this is the basis of the speech. I appreciate it.
Well, good enough. Keep the ball rolling. I appreciate your time.
All right. That's Jeff Kent. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.